What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wake up!
Wake up!
Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
What is your Kentucky Derby prediction? And do you trust Mitch to bet the right horse or the office pool?
Why wouldn't we trust Mitch? Who's suggesting what?
You're kind of a wackadoodle.
Nobody would wonder if you could trust Mitch. Mitch delivers a winner each and every...
He does.
I know which way Mully might be going. I love the idea of journalism making a run. You know that I love a revived journalism, rejuvenated journalism. I just love journalism. I do. Still
sure.
Do. But I can't pick journalism. I can't pick the favorite. I can't be the novice horse racing aficionado and go with the easiest pick on the board. So I'm going to go Citizen Bull.
I'm going with journalism. I like journalism, and the horse is going to win.
They're off in the Kentucky Derby. Journalism is in a little bit of traffic early on here, but he came out of the gate okay. Citizen Bull. Sovereignty has taken the lead. Journalism is second toward the inside. Baeza is third, but it will be Sovereignty to rule the Kentucky Derby. Journalism and Baeza were next. Final Gambit was fourth. The final time was 202.31 seconds.
Oh, no.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
Playing the hits.
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Happy Cinco de Mayo, Senor David.
Good morning, Mully. Happy Monday. Yeah, it is Cinco de Mayo. We can party later. We're going to work now. And that was... disappointing 3 minutes over the weekend.
Well,
I'm glad the weekend was not summed up in those 3 minutes, because that was...
I'm sure Mitch felt bad. He had Sandman, and it did not get on the board. But the reality is...
What is the reality?
You needed, like, an Olympic swimmer.
Yeah.
I mean, who are we kidding?
Yeah, it was disappointing.
Bad weather day.
Muddy, rainy,
muddy,
wet.
Yeah.
Soggy.
Soggy.
It was soggy.
It was super soggy.
I'm just glad it didn't last forever. The pregame lasted forever. Or the pre-horse. Can you call it pregame? It's not the pregame show.
Oh,
it's more the pre-event show, the pre-race show.
It's the 12th race, yeah. So there's a whole card of races.
Yes, right.
But
nonetheless.
But I don't know if you remember it or if it made an impact on you, but over the weekend, it occurred to me that on Friday, Dustin kept calling it drippy.
I did not resonate with me.
Yeah.
Did not remember that.
When did you get on Drippy? How was that Drippy?
Because that's what it looked like as I looked out the window.
Okay.
It was quite wet.
It was wet, and it was the track was off.
I'm glad that did not define the sports weekend for any of us. Hopefully.
No.
Hopefully not.
I hope,
certainly not for me.
I hope yesterday's Cubs game didn't define
that
the
either.
Sports weekend.
No. We'll get into it, but my sports weekend was made by back-to-back, epic, historic, unbelievable NHL playoff victories.
Oh, my God. That was something else.
Game sevens delivered.
Wow. The yesterday, with 1.6 seconds left, Winnipeg ties that game.
They tie the game.
And they win in double overtime.
Double overtime. It was crazy.
Holy cow.
They were down 3-1 with 2 minutes to go.
I guess that's why they call it the Blues.
That's why they call it the Blues. It is the St. Louis Blues indeed this morning.
Wow.
They're going to live with that one for a very long time. Oof. They score with, they pull the goalie, empty net. They score, make it 3-2. Then they score with, as you say, 1.6 seconds left, and they win in overtime. Winnipeg, that place went crazy after being dead for most of the game.
The province went crazy.
The province.
Yeah.
What else are you going to do? I mean, if when hockey season's over, what else is there to do? Fishing?
I don't.
Do they play baseball up there?
I haven't spent a lot of time in Manitoba.
They're just glad they can extend the season now. They advance to play the Stars, who had an even more remarkable comeback on Saturday night. Mikko Rantanen. Learn the name. He made history, the only player in NHL history to have a hat trick in the third period of a Game 7. And he got all three goals in the final 10 minutes, and they come back, and they beat the Avs. His former team for 10 years, they trade him away to Carolina, who traded him then to Dallas because they couldn't sign him. Mikko Rantanen made that happen. And, yeah, I know it's not – we're not a hockey town, although we have the NHL draft lottery tonight.
Yeah.
That's how big it gets in Chicago these days. But those were two remarkable hockey games Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, no doubt about it. That was some impressive stuff. The NBA had some Game 7s as well.
They had their Game 7s too.
Yeah,
and the Nuggets.
They were nearly as close. The Nuggets
and
winning,
then
last night you saw the
Warriors.
The Warriors, Buddy Hield in the Warriors.
Buddy Hield in the Warriors. How about that? That was funny.
Yeah,
he got hot.
He got very hot. Yeah,
he definitely made that one.
He was the first half guy, and then Steph took over, and Jimmy played the whole game.
Nobody's taking shots at Buddy Hield this morning, though.
No.
He's been
he's been
the source of a lot of ridicule and kind of good naturedly ribbing by Jimmy Butler and some of the Warriors. But yeah, he definitely came up big in the clutch.
Yeah,
all these clutch moments. Two game sevens on Saturday, two game sevens on Sunday, and all were memorable for different reasons.
Yeah, it was really a fun weekend. The White Sox won two games. Is that humanly possible? They've won 3 of 4. What? The White Sox 3-1 in May?
They're more competitive.
How
There's
about
no question
that?
About that.
They're 3-1 in May.
They manufactured that comeback yesterday. They got a little bit of help from the weather.
Oh boy, thank God for the weather.
80-minute rain delay, then they decide to call it a day.
But they were down 4-0.
Yeah.
They scored 3 runs in the 5th, then they get to the 6th inning and Chase Meidroth gets a single, steals second, and is knocked in by none other than the future Dodger. Where's he going? Is the future Red? He's getting traded. Luis Robert, who delivers the single, drives in the run. Then they throw to first base twice. And he had stolen the base earlier in the game. They throw twice before they throw home. So as Stoney said, well, he's going now.
You know he's going now.
And they did a pitch
Stoney
out.
Called, yeah.
They
and
did a pitch
nobody
out.
Nobody pitches out anymore.
And he beat a pitch out. How is that humanly possible?
Because he's very fast.
Wow.
He's a fast human. That's how it's humanly possible.
And then
he's a very fast human.
Edgar Cuero drives him in.
Clutch.
And
Clutch Cuero to you.
he's a good player. And then all of a sudden, the rain comes perfectly on cue the rain. And, half inning later.
Did he give a nod to the sod father?
It's over.
Telling him to cut. Did Roger Bostard call that steal by Luis Robert? Did he signal him to go because he knew the rain was coming?
Oh, boy.
You got to make something happen. Do it now, young man.
It was raining, and they stole two bases in the rain.
It was crazy conditions. Yeah, was you knew the delay was coming.
Yes.
And I thought it would clear, but of course it didn't. No. And the White Sox will take it.
Oh,
and Luis Robert now leads the American League in stolen bases.
He leads the National League in the American League.
The majors.
MLB with 15 stolen bases.
That will make him more tradable. I agree. Grasping the obvious, but that's an element that wasn't necessarily as obvious last year as it is now. And even as he begins the ascent back, you bet that teams will trust that he will hit eventually. And that speed factor... Stolen bases can be confidence, it can be feel, but he's on a roll right now.
I have not yet looked at the weather for the week, but I would think that all that guy needs is a little bit of heat. As it gets all hotted up, so will he.
Well, he certainly struggles when it's not all hotted up. That's one of those things you expect to happen. And we'll talk about it during the pick six because I do think it's an issue. There's Bob Nightingale out there saying that if Luis Robert stays hot, look at the calendar, it's May 5th, Cinco de Mayo, that he could be gone by Memorial Day.
Wow.
It's in 3 weeks.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's in 3.5 weeks.
If he stays hot, huh? But you know who stays hot is the Cubs. The Cubs had one of those power surge weekends where you felt really good right up till yesterday's game. And that one... may have left a mark because Shota Imanaga, this is the second game in a row where he leaves the game, only this time it didn't seem like a cramp, didn't seem like he was punching his leg. It seemed like he has a leg issue.
He was grabbing the back of his leg.
Yes.
Which, again, Ron Coomer correctly diagnosed Dr. Coomer as a hamstring injury.
Oh, that's usually it.
And they are calling it a strain. They have not gotten imaging.
But they're doing that today.
They don't know how bad it is. I think Shota...
they're immediately doing imaging.
...does not appear to have a great, first of all, history with hamstring injuries, and doesn't have a great grasp, if you will, with how bad this one could be, or maybe not, or couldn't be.
Counsell said he's never had a lower leg injury.
How's that possible?
So he doesn't know. He looks like he's a lower leg injury waiting to happen, if I'm watching the shower commercial correctly.
He's a little doughy. And I think that you wonder about his conditioning, perhaps. I marvel at how he has been as durable, making every start since he arrived.
I know.
Because he's been pretty steady. He's been pretty dependable.
Right.
And then you see the shower commercial, like, that's a major league pitcher?
Not quite as cut as you'd imagine.
Well, no.
Do a sit-up one.
Okay. That's a Nautilus machine. Okay. Just
but
go.
It's not even that. It's like he doesn't look like he's ever lifted a weight.
He doesn't at all.
Yeah. Oh, man.
You know, this is how we do sit-ups here. It seems very much like an accident waiting to happen if you have somebody. But again, as Ozzy said, it made me think of Ozzy Guillen. When we were talking to him over the years about all these White Sox players who had all these finely tuned bodies and all these quick to be injured bodies. And he says, well, you can't pull fat. Ozzy likes to say, you can't pull fat. And I thought of that yesterday. Like, well, okay. Shota's got a hammy. Okay. I don't think he's that tightly wound.
No, he doesn't seem to be.
But let's hope he's okay.
Oh, boy. That looks like an
IL. All kidding aside.
No, that looks like an IL.
He's
going to
miss a start or two, right?
Yeah.
And then.
But and I think the sad thing is that took away from, you know, the power surge and the PCA stuff.
The kid with the blue hair can hit.
Yeah. We heard that from Murph.
Their young guys are at the peak of their game. You know, it's the blue-haired kid is you know, kind of a freak right now, the way he's playing. The new kid with the huge feet, that kid is what a hitter. You know what I mean? What a hitter. I just notice him when he's digging in the box, and I'm like, oh, this is bad. You know, but he's what a hitter.
What a hitter. They could put the kid with blue hair on the mound. He can do anything else right now. Superhuman. Does he still have blue hair?
I don't think so. They showed him with his blonde hair now, I think.
Oh, I like that kid, man. He's a good player.
That's great. Pat Murphy after the game?
That's so funny.
Post-game Pat Murphy.
He was being positive, but he was also kind of taking a slap.
A little bit.
A little bit of a slap.
That's kind of his sense of humor.
Yeah, that's very funny.
It's very funny.
And Kyle Tucker has giant feet?
Size 14.
Yeah.
I believe. Size 14.
That bozo is one hell of a hitter.
With the huge feet.
I did not know that Kyle Tucker was known as the guy with the huge feet. He's got a big bat. No doubt about that. But he digs in. Murph's great. We talked to him on Inside the Clubhouse Saturday morning.
So funny.
He didn't mention these things on Saturday morning. Oh. He kind of gave us kind of a hard time because we didn't have like grilling. We didn't grill him about the state of the Brewers necessarily. There were other things to get to, and he was like, "Was that it?" He's like, "That it?" Like, all right, but
well, they're under 500 now.
They're struggling.
That. Yeah,
they've had injuries.
Yeah.
They've had, you know, some inconsistency at the plate. They don't have the team they had last year.
They got a pretty good pitcher, though, for Sundays. Holy cow. You're going to run into that.
No doubt about
any
it.
Any offense, you're going to run into a guy that can pitch.
But you're exactly right the way you put it. You feel good about the Cubs weekend despite losing yesterday, but it's all marred by the injury.
That's what it is.
And the uncertain status of Shota Imanaga.
Yeah.
And so you feel like... Yeah, you know, they won another series. They went 4-2 on a road trip. You got to feel good about where they are in the division. But, Shota's gone.
Yeah,
how
and,
long?
And you need him as more than any pitcher on your staff. And, you know, I don't know if you were ranking what player you can least afford, if it would be Bigfoot or Blue Hair or Doughboy. But, listen, I mean.
When you're talking about the futures of Bigfoot, Blue Hair, and Doughboy, you have to really think that you're going to be without Doughboy for about 2 weeks. Big Hair.
Wow, who's that guy?
Who's Big Hair? Bigfoot.
Hairy Feet is really struggling with.
I think Bigfoot got up back on track this weekend. He had a pretty good
series
in Milwaukee. And then Blue Hair's doing everything. Although he did, you know, he's talking about stolen bases. I was shocked that William Contreras threw out PCA. And that was a nice throw. And I just think he didn't get a good jump. So I guess he is not infallible on the bases. But boy, he's hitting everything. That Friday night game was so much fun.
They could put the kid with blue hair on the mound. He can do anything else right now. Superhuman.
So PCA's making all the rounds. He is
he's everywhere.
The story by Ken Rosenthal last week was outstanding.
Yeah.
I think he did something with Cubs.com. That was on MLB.com. And the national attention is coming, and he is ready for his close-up.
Oh, he's definitely arriving a few years early, Mr. Dustino. Were you not amused? He has this kind of narrowed look in his eyes. Were you not amused by Blue Hair?
I liked it. I mean, Listen, he had a hell of a weekend.
He had a great weekend.
Hell of a weekend.
And you know, to acknowledge it is important. I mean, he did it with a backhanded compliment, but that's still pretty good.
That's his sense of humor, though. That's almost like you could imagine Craig Counsell saying something like that in that tone.
Oh, my God.
These guys are good friends for a reason. I think they both have similar sensibilities and senses of humor. So
is his hair still blue?
His hair's not still blue.
So funny.
The blue-haired kid is, you know, kind of a freak.
The blue-haired kid. And I guess calling him kind of a freak is definitely a compliment.
To be a, you know, 20-something grandfather is pretty extraordinary.
Jameson Taillon was good again, though.
Jameson Taillon was
Saturday. Excellent.
He has been really good this year. And it occurred to me as I was watching that performance that, wow, it's a good thing they didn't trade him. Wasn't there a lot of
chatter
about that?
Yeah. A lot of chatter.
No, he's now as sturdy and as solid as anybody.
And with the two lefties out, with Justice Steele out for the season and showed up and Minaga out in probably for a couple starts, you're going to need Tyone to stay sturdy.
I got to tell you, the other guy was Ben Brown. I mean, feel free to go after him if you want, Craig Counsell, because that apparently worked.
Big moment for him. We talked about the pressure being on, and he delivered 6 innings.
No doubt.
Shutout innings. You know, the Cubs have 5 shutouts this year as a pitching staff, I believe. And that is the low-key kind of clutch performance that really nobody talks about that much. We always, the bats are the bats, and the offense is one of the best in the majors. But their pitching staff has quietly been pretty good
as
a starting rotation.
No question. And Shota, it'll be really interesting in terms of what I can tell as to whether or not they will do, as you said, if he misses a couple starts, they may try to get through that with what they have. Chris Flexen is kind of stretched out. They could try to solve it that way as opposed to bringing up a guy like Cade Horton, because it might be a little bit early for Cade Horton. And we'll see. You just worry about him in terms of how long he can go.
You worry about him having enough innings
exactly.
to last into September.
That's what I'm saying.
And what you're doing to his career if you push him.
Right.
But he just
started in Iowa, right?
That's a valid concern.
Right.
But it's one that I think it tends to be more prevalent of a part of the conversation than it used to be. It used to be if you have a young prospect and he's ready to come up, you bring him up.
Yeah.
You don't overuse him. And I don't think Cade Horton would ever be a guy you'd go into the 6th or 7th inning with. But how come we didn't hear these concerns with Paul Skeens, for example?
Right.
Other young prospects that are coming up. Cade Horton pitched on Sunday, and he was lights out again.
He was very good.
He's on the same rotation as Shota, so theoretically he could take Shota's next start. He'd be on time to do that, on schedule. But again, the Cubs today probably are having conversations about just that if they haven't already.
Right.
What is the right time to bring up your best pitching prospect?
Yeah, they need to know the time frame of Shota, and then they need to be realistic about, if that's a few weeks, then you worry about a rehab start.
You do worry about that.
You just have to be careful.
It depends on the severity of the injury.
Exactly.
So once Shota is done showering and singing, he'll get his imaging, and he will figure out how bad that hamstring has been strained.
They bring him in, and then they say, "Hey, Shota, we got to get the imaging done. Why don't you take a quick shower, and we're going to get
there's
some
no
more,
quick showers.
We're going to get some more tape. Yeah. We're just going to keep."
So when you're done the shower, just go hang out with Blue Hair and Bigfoot, and we'll get to you right away. Oh boy.
Oh my gosh.
So the other option is this, and I think it's not, even if it's not an option, it's worth pointing out.
Right.
You mentioned Ben Brown. That was an outstanding performance.
It was.
Chris Flexen throwing 3 shutout innings as well.
Yeah.
Guy we talked about last week, having a purpose on that pitching staff, the versatility and veteran presence he provides is really important, especially when you're having the kind of injuries they're having right now.
Yeah, I saw with Flexen that he was throwing a slider like 15% of the time, and they were like, no, let's not do that. And he swapped out for some other pitch that he throws like 10% of the time. Like they made an adjustment with what he was throwing, which is excellent. Because
the pitch mix
is
varied. Yeah.
He's pitched very well at AAA, so you would think that he could probably get back into a starting role, or who knows? Maybe you do like an opener type thing, and you go try to see if you can get 4 innings out of him, and then you go to the bullpen. Brad Keller had a good outing.
Brad Keller being used in relief, and how effective he has been is another example of just how that was an under the radar signing. He was added as a minor league contract,
right.
And then he developed some consistency in spring training, and now he's a valuable part of that bullpen.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I know Julian Merriweather did not do well yesterday, and we have a texter wants him DFA'd.
Why are you so Fairweather and Merryweather?
Slow down. Yeah. Don't be a Fairweather Merryweather man.
But how do you come in and throw a wild pitch on the first
it's
offer?
Not good.
Come on.
But,
I mean, what are you doing?
Because he wasn't ready to go.
He decides when he's ready.
He gets to throw
he gets
as many
unlimited
pitches.
He wanted
okay.
to pitch a game.
You're making it sound so simple. Right? Imagine you're sitting in the bullpen. Your starter is cruising along. What are you shaking your head at?
You make it sound so. David, he gets as much time. He decided
he
that he was ready. If you
I know.
Say you're ready, then you're ready.
But mentally, you're not going into that mentally? Inning thinking you're going into the game. You're thinking about you're probably an inning away from that. I understand why he would have been a little bit unsettled for his first hitter or so.
Yeah, the poor guy is sitting there, and he's like...
For a guy fat-shaming Shota Imanaga, you think he'd be a little harder on a guy who can't... whose job it is to come into a tense situation. That's his job. Julian Merryweather is supposed to be a high-leverage reliever, and he can't even throw his first pitch correctly.
But you don't know what
in
he's
a scoreless
going
game. Oh, yeah.
Do you know if
he's
he...
probably thinking about vacation he took 6 years ago.
Do you know...
He's thinking. When
no,
I took
he's not
to
thinking
prom,
about that. Do we know?
I stop at the broad stop on the way back.
I shouldn't
and pick
have
up
asked for a kiss. I should have just gone in for one.
Was he and Miguel Amaya on the same page with PitchCom? That's another thing you don't know, because that was a little bit outside, but it wasn't that uncatchable. It was a fastball, maybe expecting a breaking pitch. You just don't know these things before you attack. I just ask first.
Yeah, stop attacking.
Now, the Shota thing is kind of fun. Shota can clearly get done with – he can get he became an excellent major league pitcher without necessarily having tremendous fitness. That's a compliment.
Yeah, he had one bad outing.
He's doughy.
He clearly – Dustin often references the Husky section. Doughy hit him hard. And he didn't like it. And
Shota's still shopping in the Husky
and
section.
He's turned that into fat shaming. I don't think Shota, I think he might be Garanimals, buddy.
Still make Garanimals?
They're gonna have to redo that commercial.
I don't know. We got to get to the pick six. Murph has infected all of us with this wacky sense of humor of his. But we're going to talk about all the stories of the weekend, and we'll do that next. It's Mully and Haugh on the Score.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
It's Pick Six with Mullion Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mullion Haw starts now.
What's your take on Shota Imanaga leaving yesterday's game in the six with an apparent left hamstring injury? Scheduled for imaging later today, and the team will wait for the results before determining next steps. Are we back to wondering if Shota is the pitcher they can least afford to lose?
He's never had any lower body, you know, muscle strains, so he's a little unsure of you know, what this, what it, you know, what the feeling means, what the feeling means. But he felt something for sure.
Can the Cubs afford to be without Shota Imanaga?
For a limited period, I mean, you can get by a couple of turns in the rotation, couple, three turns in the rotation. But if it's an extended issue, you got problems. There's no doubt about it. No, you can't afford to be without him for a longer period of time. He's too good a pitcher, and he's your best guy. And by the way, Justin Steele's already down, so, and not coming back. So I think that it did give you pause. As we talked about, I would say if it were me, I would try to deal with the options that I have. If I'm cashing in the Chris Flexen ticket, I might try to do that. The guy's been in the major leagues. He's been around. They're getting really strong performances from four different pitchers right now. So Shota, you could live without him for a few turns in the rotation. But if this is a longer, if this is kind of a 6 week or 2 month type deal, and I hope it isn't, and I'm not suggesting it is, but if that's the case, then you're back to where you were in terms of having to make a move, having to go out and get somebody. And it's very scary to think about that, because there's not going to be a lot available, and whatever you get at this point, you would be paying through the nose for. So you want to buy as much time as you can. I also don't like the idea of cashing in on Cade Horton right now. I would rather him kind of spend some more time and stretch out some more, and then feel really good about when you bring him up that you're going to get a bump.
Well, starting there first is who does come up. I would put my money on Jordan Wicks. That's probably who they end up having come up to fill that role. Hopefully, to your point, Mully, it's not more than one or two. The Cubs have a fantastic record over the last year and a half with Shota on the mound. Mm-hmm. Right? They just play well when he throws. I think he brings a ton of energy. I think guys like to play behind him.
A lot of fly ball outs.
So, you know, fingers crossed. It looked slightly worse. Again, though, looked, that means nothing. It looked slightly worse than it looked the other day.
Yeah.
But
He
walked off on his own. He
limped.
But I mean, he didn't need, there wasn't a cart. He didn't need to put his arms over trainers and other players' shoulders, you know, like he had a hop out. I'm just saying, he was able to walk out on his own. So I'm trying to be positive here.
Yeah, I think it's hard to be positive. Well, positive means he's not going to miss an extended period of time. That would be positive. I think he's going to miss some time. Be hard to imagine him not, after the reaction that he had and what people were saying about the extent of the injury, projecting that way. I think the Cubs have taken a real common sense approach to problem solving this year. When Matt Shaw wasn't hitting, he went down. They're trying a lot of different options at third base. They're doing things within their bullpen out of necessity. And out of necessity, I would bring up Cade Horton. I think Jordan Wicks, for some reason, there must be something about him that they aren't thrilled with, because he doesn't seem to have their confidence. They aren't treating him like a guy in whom they have a lot of confidence. Cade Horton has made 6 starts at AAA. He's got 33 strikeouts in 29 innings. He gave up 1 run in 6 innings on Sunday. He's on track to take Shota's spot in the rotation if there is an injury list to go on for Shota. I understand all of the concerns about stretching him out and preserving him for the stretch run and all those things. But if he's going to make a start this week, I think it should be for the Cubs and not the Iowa Cubs. If Shota Imanaga goes on the injury list, I think Cade Horton's time is now. And you bring him up and you start the clock. And you can always send him back down. The Cubs don't have to have any sort of commitment long-term to keeping him in Chicago. You'd like that to be the case. What a nice problem that would be to have. Cade Horton's too good. What do we do with him? Well, you can conserve his innings, and he can help your major league team, especially at a time of need. Shota is your second lefty to go down at the top of the rotation. If this isn't a crisis, if this indeed is where he's headed, I don't know what is. So, break in glass in case of emergency. Call up Cade Horton.
Wow, that's a good question.
That's the voice of John Heyman. He'll be in studio with Mully and Haw at 8:25. Check it out on Twitch. Luis Robert Jr. stole his 14th and 15th bases on Sunday, taking over as the MLB League leader. And his improved hitting lately had Bob Nightingale in USA Today to suggest the White Sox could trade Robert, quote, by Memorial Day, end quote, if this hot streak continues. You buying it?
I think that the White Sox would love everyone to buy that. I think the White Sox would love that to be the case, because get it out there that he's back on the market, and he know what, he's better than he was before the last time that he was up for auction. And I think that's the way you look at it. This is a player auction to the highest bidder. And Luis Robert now has added or revived his stolen base tool. This is something that was dormant for a while. But he is being more selective. He's getting more walks, and he's stealing more bases. And he leads the majors in that category. That's somebody I'd want on my team if I am the Reds, if I am the Dodgers, if I am a team that just needs something like that in terms of a speed element you don't have, also that is projected to be a contender down the stretch. Memorial Day seems a little early to me, but getting it out there that he's still available reminds teams, if they need reminded, that he is. And so I think this was a little strategic. I don't think it's inaccurate, and I do think that that's the way that he can serve a purpose best for the White Sox. Get hot, stay active on the base paths, and bring them something in return that can fit in nicely into this rebuild.
Well, this would be selling higher. He is playing better. He's in good form. 2-3 weeks ago, you would have said you were selling at his lowest level. So you hope that he keeps going up, 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 because then you get more, more, more.
Yeah, I got to tell you, it feels like he might be worth more later. You know, he hasn't really gotten going yet. I mean, he's running, and that's helping what he's doing. But, you know, I don't know. When is the trade deadline? I would wait
until the end of July.
I'm just saying, I don't think there's any. I mean, are you off to the races now because you're worried that something's going to go awry?
He is injury prone.
I understand that. But, I mean, I don't know that I would be rushing to get rid of him. Oh my God, he stole the base! Quick, trade him. I think that
I'm worried about him grabbing his hamstring.
Well, that's what this is. This is a move you make because you're worried about the guy being hurt. This is not a move you make because you want to get something for him.
He does have fast twitch muscles.
I understand that. they talk about trying to get 2 pieces for the guy. Now, if they can get 1, they're going to rush to trade him by the end, you know, in 3 weeks. I don't know. I might want to roll the bones a little bit. What do you got to lose? You got nothing. going well for you. You win a few games, stick with them. Let's see what happens.
Did you see the note? We'll get to the next question in a second. Your favorite player in the trade for Crochet, Winkelman?
Oh, Winkelman.
He's now going to the bullpen.
Yeah, Winkelman.
And he might be on his way up.
Winkelman Gonzalez.
Yes.
He's not my favorite.
He's your favorite guy. You always mention him.
Because he's another player. We somehow have ignored Winkelman.
I'm waxing poetic about Kyle Teal. I'm excited about Braden Montgomery. We're talking about my draft already being in the majors. You're like, don't forget about Winkelman.
I said there was a fourth player in that deal. They're all going to be superstars. That's all.
He's on the way.
I love it.
What was the other part
big
of that
Winkelman
question?
Man.
Oh, John Heyman again. Maybe two segments with John. So two questions from John there. What about the White Sox winning their second series of the 2025 season? A 5-4 rain-shortened victory over the Astros. They have now won three of their last four games and improved to 10-24, a .294 win percentage, and two wins better than they were after 34 games a year ago.
Oh, man. Come on, break up the White Sox. 3-1 in May, baby. May is their month. David's in a hurry to get rid of their best player this month.
So is Chris Getz.
Yeah, I get it. I know. I'm just kidding around. I got to tell you, I really enjoyed watching them win a series. I did. I thought that their performance was pretty strong. They won two games in a row, and I watched a little bit thinking, can it make it three? No. But they've won three out of four. That is unbelievable, man. And to get to 10 wins, I believe they're now on track, right, for like 48. And I think I had picked 47. So, good for them. They were like a couple days ago, they were going to better their mark of a year ago. And they still could. But it feels like it's better. It feels like the manager is better. It just feels like, yeah, they're trying different stuff. I'm chuffed, as they say, to see the White Sox win a few.
Can you? You're what?
Chuffed.
I've never. I've never heard that word. What?
Chuffed.
Pleased. It means pleased.
Oh, okay. Why not just say pleased?
Chuffed is a really good word.
I White Sox should be pleased that Mother Nature played a part in them winning the game 5-4 yesterday. But again, it's the way they came back. They did it in the bottom of the sixth. They tied it, then took the lead. Let's see what happens now. They got four against the Royals. The Royals, seven home runs yesterday, setting a new record in MLB.
What
there
a
was
fluke.
Also 10 home runs in that game, tying a record.
Very fluky.
Royals and Orioles.
The White Sox are passing the eye test, and the record may be not that different than a year ago, and the projections might not be, but when you watch them, you know. You watch them the first couple innings, the run differential through the second inning, I think. I know it's a silly stat, but it's one of the top 10 in baseball, I believe, and it reflects a team that comes ready to play. This is not a team that you look at and you see. What you see is limited talent. You don't see limited interest. You don't see a bunch of guys that are don't know how to play baseball this year. I think that's a big difference. The pitching, the starting pitching, has been promising. There've been moments where you like what you see, and there's been other moments it gets to the bullpen and you cringe a little bit. But I like the fact that they won a series over a good Astros team. That's a winning team. The Astros are having a winning season. And the White Sox took two out of three, and they came back yesterday under some very adverse conditions, and they won the series. I think it's funny that the rain shortened it, and 80 minutes was where they called it, and they didn't want to wait any longer. It was like they were ready. They got the lead. Let's go home. And so good for them. Look, if a team ever needed a break, it's the White Sox. They will take it and run. And I think Will Venable is getting through to his players. He's very popular in that clubhouse, and I think he's also highly respected, and that's a good combination.
That's a big question.
That is the voice of Bruce Levine. He'll be here at 9 talking both Cubs and White Sox. Bruce spent the weekend up in Milwaukee. What did you think of the Chicago Tribune story Sunday morning on New Arlington Heights Mayor Jim Tenaglia?
Tenaglia.
Okay. It included this quote.
In the most significant optimistic scenario for a Bears stadium in Arlington Heights, there could be a groundbreaking in 26. Whatever happened to shovels in the ground in 25?
Very good story in the Trib on Jim Tenaglia, the new mayor at Arlington Heights. An architect, did not realize all of his background. I don't think he'll be designing the new stadium out there, but I do think he'll probably have a say in the things that go around it if, in fact, this happens. And it does seem to be headed in that direction. Whenever it starts. Whenever it starts. Goodness sakes. Now we're talking about 2026. I understand from a political standpoint, he's the new mayor, and he's got to be somewhat conservative in his estimates because he doesn't want to come back and be used against him. But he wants to be responsible, I think, in what he's estimating and the timetable. But this is not in sync with what Kevin Warren has been promising all along. So it makes you wonder about what Kevin Warren has been promising all along. What's he selling us? You know, first God was kissing the lakefront and the Bears were going to build there. Then they were going to have shovels in the ground in Arlington Heights in 2025. Look at the calendar. Cinco de Mayo. We're almost midway through 2025. Mm. So Jim Tenaglia, I think, is adding a dose of reality to this process that doesn't have much so far. Get on with it, Chicago Bears. Get things done because the timetable, time is money, and you're wasting both.
Well, it seems to me like this is negotiating stuff. This is politics. This is that kind of a thing. I think the Bears probably, the way it reads to me, they don't really have anywhere to build in Chicago right now. It looks like Arlington Heights is the best option. I'd love more on this. But again, I'm still in the group that says, you know, when you build it, they will come wherever it is. I personally would like it to stay downtown, but that's just because that's what I'm used to. There are several people you will hear from that say, well, in Dallas, well, in Boston, well, in this place, well, in that, the teams are in the suburbs. They're not downtown. But that's what we know. That's what I've grown up with. So that's what I'm used to. I mean, again, wherever they build the Bears Stadium, we're going to go. So
yeah, that's not what's in question. What's in question is how long have they waited to build this building and how much is that costing them as you tick, 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 wait. I can't help but wonder if you say shovels in the ground by 2025, is 2026 okay? It's just a year, but how much is the difference? And how much time and effort and energy did you waste trying to get something going in the city that couldn't get legs under it? And where are they at with the state right now? Are they going to get financial help for infrastructure stuff that's going on in Arlington Heights? I don't know the answer to any of these questions. It doesn't seem like this is moving fast enough. And I think that's what you heard from the mayor. And I think that, you know, it's great if they get it done, Dustin. And you're absolutely right. You're going to go see them regardless of where they play. But it's still kind of, it's just not going as smoothly as one might have hoped.
And that is the understatement of the day.
But who, you know, it's the who's that who, right? Who's that person? Who's upset? George? Kevin? Like, who's upset?
The chairman of the Chicago Bears. It has a responsibility to be upset. Yes. Or to be monitoring this to the point where it gets done in an expedient fashion.
That's right.
If it doesn't, he better be, as he would say about his, once said about his late mother, pissed off. I'd be pissed off.
But they have a lease, right, that they're tied to for quite some time?
Dustin.
That's not about the lease. Like, 2033.
Are you paying attention to building costs and how they're going up and how much things cost
and the letter
to do stuff?
Yes, I
am. Thank you.
Kevin Warren wrote a letter.
Maybe their thought is, maybe, again, if we're going to have a discussion, they're up. Maybe they're thinking if we put this on pause for a year, maybe they'll go back down.
But the thing is, Dustin, Kevin Warren sent a letter to the Chicago Park District in mid-April complaining about the upgrades that were promised and never happened. And the last time they had a meeting that was scheduled on the agenda about this was 20 years ago. So this is not getting better. It seems like it's getting more.
It seems like he's doing that, though, to set the ground for the case that they should be allowed to leave and they don't have to pay any money.
It's all related.
Yeah, that's a great question.
There he is, Kevin Warren. There were two Game 7s on Saturday, two Game 7s on Sunday when you combine the NHL and the NBA playoffs together. In case Chicago sports fans have forgotten what playoff trauma looks like, there was a moment or moments that stood out in those decisive games to you.
Listen, there were fantastic moments over the weekend. The basketball wasn't as tight, contentious as the hockey. And we know that playoff hockey is a different animal altogether. But those were unbelievable finishes. And if you were lucky enough to watch them, and you should be watching them, because that is unbelievable stuff. I enjoyed the basketball as much as the hockey, but the hockey was so much more competitive, so much more in question right up to the end of the games. It wasn't even funny. I mean, holy guacamole. That was great stuff and riveting. And, you know, we're going to be sitting here with bated breath tonight because the Hawks were the penultimate team in the league and they've got as good a chance as anybody. They're going to finish with a top four pick. There's apparently defenseman that is the number one guy this year. So okay,
Schaefer, yeah.
Yeah, Schaefer. Go get Schaefer. Let's go. Yeah. But there's a couple of centermen, too, that are supposed to be pretty good. Michael Misa is a guy that has been mentioned. So we'll see where they end up, but they should wind up with yet another good player. But time to start winning some games, man.
Well said, Mully. The NHL drama was better than the NBA drama, without a doubt. I think the way I looked at it was, again, just a sad reality that, I mean, I get the next question, maybe a question for tomorrow would be, especially after the NHL lottery draft tonight, you know, which franchise is most likely to even get into the playoffs, let alone get to a game seven in the playoffs, right? I mean, it's just ridiculous that, right, you know, both of our fall/winter sports out. But I mean, it's just, you think in a big market, but like, especially in hockey, like, they're big markets all over the place shut out of the NHL postseason.
St. Louis led Winnipeg by two goals with 2 minutes to play last night in game seven. Incredible. The Winnipeg Jets stadium and arena was dead. All these people in white t-shirts were sitting there on their hands, distraught. And then the Jets scored twice in the final 2 minutes, including the tying goal with 1.6 seconds to go. And they went into overtime, and they win it. Double overtime. Great drama. But it was exceeded the night before. The Mikko Rantanen game. That is what it is. Not only in Dallas, but all over the NHL. Mikko Rantanen scored three goals, a hat trick in the third period. His team was down. Left for dead. 2-0. 10 minutes to go in the third period. Their season was over. This is a guy that the Avalanche traded to the Hurricanes. They trade him to Dallas. What does he do? He's pretty quiet through the playoffs. Puts a team on his back in game six and seven. In game seven, he did something no other player in NHL history had done. A hat trick in the third period of a game seven. I will always remember that one. That drama is great. It made me miss playoff hockey in Chicago. And the whole weekend from the Nuggets and the Warriors, you made me miss playoff basketball in Chicago. Just the playoffs in Chicago. It's May. Why do winter sports season seem so far away?
Well, that's a good question.
And that's the voice of Eddie Olczyk. Did Derby Day get you down? Was there too much mud and slop to call it a good racing day? Do you believe the sovereignty is a Triple Crown threat, or will you regroup and try to get a price on journalism?
Well, the price of journalism is plummeting, so I don't think I'm going to do that. What a deflating day. Soggy, wet, muddy, disappointing. We picked the wrong horse. I feel like we wasted our time. Did not enjoy this year's Derby. Not at all.
Wow, not at all. All right, so we're on to Pimlico. May the 17th, so it's a very, very quick turnaround. We don't have any official horses yet in that race. I hope both horses will go.
Journalism might not.
You might not, right? You just don't know. I did, for what it's worth, you know, I held up my sheet of integrity before Eddie O came on, and I did give out the exacta for what it's worth. So,
what was it worth?
It paid okay. I got
back. You gave
back,
out the exacta?
I gave out. Remember, I said I gave out a $1 three horse exacta box. So, and I got it. But I got a little bit more back than I invested. So that's a win, right? But it wasn't because of the sloppiness. Usually, I won't watch 8 hours of it, but in and out and following on my phone. I did not wager because it's hard to tell in the slop. So I did not wager until the Derby. And it's great. Like, you go out and you watch it, and people are really into it. I was standing next to it. I slid into a seat at my local establishment. There's a guy there. He had two, like, different racing books, like full the old school daily racing form. This guy was grinding on this race. You know, so it's just interesting to hear him, you know, kind of talking about it. But yeah, it's hard. It's not as cool when it's sloppy and rainy. I hope all the horses come out of it okay. I hope there's a nice full field. But I do think there is something too. They need to adjust. They need to adjust the dates on this. It's, you know, May 17th is not that far away. It's a
well. That's
quick,
the whole point of the quick, Triple Crown,
right? It's but then it difficult. then it destroys. Is it really a Triple Crown? But if no horses are racing, you know how I feel when they all skip this and then go to the Belmont. You know, that's not great either.
Yeah, so the way the card works is it's 2 weeks until you get to Pimlico for the Preakness, and that is a track with a lot of turns, and you need more of a kind of speed horse, and you get then to the Belmont, which we've seen thousands of hearts and tickets die down the stretch of the Belmont. So it's here's one for you I didn't know. So Secretariat, the great Secretariat, Triple Crown winner, one of the greatest athletes of my lifetime, that horse had 660 foals. That horse basically lived 19 years and you know, had children for a living. And every single horse in that race was related to Secretariat.
I got a text from a buddy about that. I'm like, yeah. Wow, that is unbelievable.
Yeah. Every single horse in that
race. I haven't looked it up.
Trace it back.
Are they back at the Belmont this year? Are they still 1 year away? Are they up north a little bit because Belmont's being redone?
I think they're in Saratoga.
Saratoga,
yeah,
still, right?
I think,
yeah,
it's Saratoga.
So a little
you're
different,
right.
But
yeah,
but that race, there's four. Isn't there 4 weeks between?
They're still working at Belmont.
Preakness and the Belmont.
No, it's,
I think,
three, I believe.
Three.
Okay. Double check it,
yeah,
but I think
it was four. But
I think it's two
way.
And then three, yeah. And then they. But you know what you would hope is, see what they do is they look at the condition of the horse coming out of the Derby where, you know, you had to really work hard and, you know, you're eating mud and the whole bit. And then they determine whether or not they think you can bounce back. And if you can't, then they aim for the other race. But if you did try to, if you might get a really nice price on Journalism. That's a pretty decent horse. And it finished second. And it had an excuse because of the mud. So you could get a better price on it in the Preakness than you would in the Derby. So I'm always interested in value bets with horses. You would imagine that Sovereignty, after winning the race, would get a pretty good bump. But we'll see who's in it, and then we'll make a determination. But I love that idea of sometimes with Triple Crown runners, even if you came back in the Belmont and you bet that horse, you might make some money on it because it's going to be better odds than it was in this race. Good stuff. I mean, it's good. It's racing. It made me want to play a whole card. I don't like aiming toward a single race, especially one that is torn up this much and there's so much information. It's a hard, and every horse is good and every horse is trying to win. I'd rather find a sleeper somewhere that no one's betting on, and I can make some money. I'm sorry. We're running out of time. Extra Point is next. Mullion Hall on the Score.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand. Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out.
Every home run.
Gone.
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the Extra Point with Mullion Haw on 670 The Score.
Which Chicago baseball prospect will get called up to the majors first this season? White Sox minor league slugger Tim Elko or former Cubs first rounder Cade Horton? Both are sizzling hot at Charlotte and Iowa, respectively.
If Shohei Imanaga goes on the injured list, as I said during the pick six, I would be inclined to call up Cade Horton now. If you're worried about getting out-getters, as Craig Counsell calls them, he's a guy that would be at the top of the list of replacements for Shota Imanaga. You could get by with Chris Flexen, and you could get by with Jordan Wicks, and there are other alternatives if you're concerned about what bringing up Cade Horton would mean to his season-long innings usage. But at the same time, I think that it's an obvious choice to me. If he thinks he's ready to face Major League pitching, and it looks like, based on his results at Iowa, he is, then do it now. You don't have to. It doesn't have to be a forever promotion. It doesn't have to be something that lasts beyond a couple weeks, maybe a month. But I do think it would be smart for them to do it. Will he beat Tim Elko here? He shouldn't. Tim Elko should be here tonight. Tim Elko should be in a major league uniform tonight. It should have been in over the weekend. Don't know what is preventing the White Sox from grasping the obvious. He's got 10 home runs for Charlotte. He also has a lot of fans in the organization, at least and fans from people who used to be part of the organization. Former draft pick and White Sox player and farmhand Tyler Osick, who was drafted in 2019, was in the organization through 2023 as high as Birmingham, tweeted this over the weekend. Then he deleted it. Andrew Vaughn would be out in Arizona golfing, and we would all be grinding in Arizona at the facility, and he'd show up in the offseason 2 times per week, dumbbell press 40 pounds, take 20 swings off the machine, show up and hit 250 with 15 bombs and 500 at-bats, and then repeat the next year. To me, that was a slap in the face to all the people grinding it, giving the keys to the game, and took it for granted. Promote Tim Elko. Wow. Matt Spiegel addressed that on Hit and Run over the weekend. It's something that I don't think will resonate with the Sox organization. They probably don't appreciate it either. But there are a lot of fans for Tim Elko. He's doing it the right way, and he's making progress. I think he should be here for a team that needs him.
I heard that over the weekend as well, David. That really got my attention. I agree with everything you said. I just think it's just in the spirit of the question, I think it's going to be Tim Elko. I'm hopeful that he's already left Charlotte and is on the way to Kansas City to enjoy some fine barbecue and be in the White Sox lineup. The Royals can slug. They hit 7 home runs yesterday. The White Sox can't really slug. This guy can. Makes perfect sense.
Yeah, there's something going on. There's something going on here. And I don't know exactly what it is. I mean, someone said there's some statistic that Elko is, he's done very well this year, but he is swinging more at balls out of the zone or something. I mean, there's some weird statistic.
A metric?
Some
a
metric
peripheral?
Somewhere that they don't like. I'm just saying, I think the main thing is that that they feel like if they do this, then they're done with Andrew Vaughn. And they are clearly not done with Andrew Vaughn. He got a couple of hits recently. They're sticking with this line that he's just unlucky. Now we're hearing that he's maybe not working as hard as he should. I don't know if I believe that.
I don't know if I believe that, but I do think he should respond to it. If I'm called lazy, I would want somebody to defend me.
I've always
liked Andrew Vaughn, but that's a pretty scathing attack.
I mean, the problem is that he's just not that good.
He's not hitting.
He hasn't been hitting for a while. And I don't know what the root cause of that. He's just one of these guys that won the equivalent of the Heisman as a hitter and then just never lived up to it. It just happens sometimes. So, they're running out of time.
But they got spots in the lineup.
They've got
designated hitter.
They should bring Tim Elko up. They should have brought him up 2 weeks ago. The fact that they're not, and the fact that they're being, for a team as bad as the White Sox, that they've won a few games now, I just don't think they're going to do it. I don't understand why, but there's got to be a reason, right? All right, we've got your calls next, 312-644-6767, Mullion Hall on the score.
And the 3-2 from Quintana. Swing and a drive, right center field and deep. Back toward the wall, that ball is going to be gone. 3-run homer, Pete Crow Armstrong. Listen to these Cub fans here in Milwaukee.
That is the Great Clip of the Week, brought to you by Great Clips. Go to Great Clips for your next haircut. It's gonna be great. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. And PCA was great this weekend.
Oh, my gosh.
Man, was he good. What was it? Was it Friday, the one?
2 home runs on Friday.
The second one was like a golf swing.
Okay, so that was off a reliever.
Yeah.
Joel Piamps.
Holy cow.
You know how far it was off the ground? 0.86 feet, according to StatCast. And it was one of those things where it stands out because it was like a golf shot.
And it was in like the double deck of the – I mean, he beat the hell out of that.
He's hitting everything. He's hitting it wherever you pitch it, he's hitting it.
Yeah.
And his 17-game stretch is the best, most powerful stretch of power the Cubs have seen since Chris Bryant in 2019.
Wow.
And he has – led the league in homers in that stretch with 9 home runs in 17 games. Didn't start. It wasn't lightning. It wasn't really fast. I mean, he was struggling a little bit even. And since that point, in the last 17 games, he has been on fire. And the only players in the National League with a higher WAR than PCA, or he's actually in a tie with Pete Alonso and your guy Fernando Tatis Jr.
That's ridiculous.
That's production. That's awesome. Who's going to have a better year, PCA or Kyle Tucker?
Kyle Tucker will eventually have the best of the
two. Sure of that?
Yeah, I'm confident that he's going to, because he's in the contract year.
Okay.
I think he's going to have, I think he's going to have like an MVP season.
So
but I think PCA is right there.
He could too. So you're saying Bigfoot greater than blue hair?
I'm saying my Murphism. I would take the guy with the blue hair.
I can't argue. It's a good debate. I wonder what Cub fans think. That's interesting, though.
No, I think the guy with the big feet will eventually be. I just feel like. I feel like he is kind of the perfect swing. I think PCA is unbelievable.
They need somebody with a big arm now.
Yeah. Yeah, they need more help.
Do you bring up Cade Horton or not?
I wouldn't, but we'll talk about it. 312-644-6767. Would you bring him up now? Mully and Haw on the score.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. A new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.